Let's join Doug Armstrong, St. Louis Blues general manager. And since a shuffling in his organization, the St. Louis Blues are back into playoff consideration, and they are right now the third seed in the Central Division. What's the biggest difference that you've seen from your roster compared to under Ken Hitchcock, Doug?
Well, I would say right now we're playing more of a team game. We don't give up nearly the scoring chances we're giving up for whatever reason, and we're getting obviously excellent goaltending from Jake Allen too, and Hutton for that matter. Both goalies have been near the top of the league in save percentage and goals against since the change, and I think it's a reflection of our overall team game and are certainly cutting down, not maybe scoring chances, but the quality of scoring chances.
Interesting that you mentioned team game, because when you made the change, and you were gutted when you made that switch, you talked about independent contractors, 20 or 22 independent contractors. So it looks like the message got through.
I said some, not 22.
Okay. You said there were 77 independent contractors.
I think that obviously for me personally, that was a difficult day, just out of my relationship that I'd had with Ken for a number of years, going back to the early 90s. But I did feel that our team game had slipped for whatever reason this year, and some of it was due to the change in leadership and change of putting different people in control of the room and of the play on the ice. And really what we've seen happen is really Alex Pietrangelo has now become the leader of this team. His game since the coaching change, and really since the trade of Shattenkirk, he's taken a bigger role in our power play, and it really feels to me that he's evolved into the guy that everyone's looking for to lead our group.
I really hope that general managers, Nick, don't get the feeling that with John Hines coming in, they're going to want to send their coaches in to spend time with us, in the studio here.
I could certainly understand how insecure that would make you feel.
they got to give you some company there, Doug. You've been doing it all by yourself, I saw.
Yeah, I know. It's a joke. Anyway.
What do you think of the job that he did, Doug? Doug Armstrong.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Thanks.
You liar.
I appreciate it. You love seeing me squirm. I haven't squirmed in a long time. You love seeing me squirm for a change, didn't you?
Doug, I want to ask you, because we had you on maybe about 3 weeks before the trade deadline, and we were discussing Shattenkirk, and you wanted to see how the next couple of weeks were going to go. And in hindsight, whether or not you were in first place overall or outside looking in, did that trade have to happen in your organization?
No, I don't believe it did. I think if we were in first place in the league, and we talked about that after the trade was made, that you or at least we react on how our team is, and we know Kevin Shattenkirk's a very good player, and if we were fighting with the top two or three teams in the league and were a favorite to win the cup, I don't think you make that trade. And I think that's seen by the teams that are in the top two or three in the league that have unrestricted free agents don't make those trades. So it was based a little bit on, quite honestly, one of the things is Nick, is that when a player, has informed us he wasn't coming back, it wasn't an economic situation. It was just a desire to have a different role on a team. It made it a little bit easier to make that trade. And really, we made two trades of guys who were going to be unrestricted, and both players had said that they wanted a different opportunity. So with that information, you make the trade, the best trade you can when it's there, and that's what we did.
Doug, it's worked. There's a mood change. The goaltending's better. They don't have the independence. I guess more of a team game, as you said, but it still comes down to a great finish, and then you go into the playoffs, and we're looking at the matchups. Every matchup is a pick'em. That's how tough it is right now. Even with your team feeling good about themselves, you're going in tough into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you want to get as healthy as possible, I think, going in there, and then rely on your team game and staying healthy through the playoffs and getting great goaltending. I think that, when you look back, I think there's been five or six teams maybe that have made the playoffs the last 5 or 6 years. So you're looking at probably 80% of the teams don't make it on a consistent basis, which just shows the parity year in to year out. Yeah. And I believe that this year will be no different. We're going to see some big upsets in the first round, just because I don't think there's that big of a difference. Probably the only one that won't be an upset is 2-3 in the Metro.
Are you okay with that? watching a team have a franchise type year and knowing that one of them is going to get knocked out in the first round?
Well, I think if you look back, Nick, we had that same situation last year with Chicago, St. Louis, and Dallas.
Yeah, totally.
You just have to. It is what it is. I think that from an Eastern Conference team, I could see the understanding of 1-8 is the way to go. But from a Western Conference team, if you're in Chicago or St. Louis, and you have to fly west, that's a big that's a big disadvantage.
Totally.
A 4-hour flight if you have to do that. And you want to win the Stanley Cup, and you want to go series after series having to do that. So I understand the logic in it. It's just sort of the rub of the green of you know where your division is at the time. But I can see the pros and cons on both sides of it. But I don't think you want to underestimate the wear and tear on the players on those four and a half hour flights.
You know, Doug, it's funny, Scotty Bowman. How many years did he talk about the what the Detroit Red Wings had to go through to get to the Stanley Cup?
For sure. And,
series after series of that.
Year after year after that also. They were always contending and pushing
And flying.
You know, yeah, we had it in Dallas a little bit. It was 3 hours. Now that I'm much closer to Detroit than I am Dallas, flying out to... We flew to LA last week. It was a four-hour and 15-minute flight, and it seemed like 6 hours, 7 hours. So it does take a wear and tear, and then the time zone changes too. It's very difficult, I think, if you're a number one seed and you've worked that long to get that and you have to fly out there on two or three occasions.
It happens to me. I mean, I fly to Florida tomorrow morning, and then coming back Monday, I've got to be host on two. Like, it's not easy. It's the wear and tear of my body.
Sand in your shoes.
Yeah.
And that's without time zones.
Yeah, without time zones. I find it tough, you know. Imagine these guys doing it, though.
Doug, there's 31 general managers in the National Hockey League now, and you watch this show, and you saw what Doug went through the other day. How much do you think each one of you guys would contribute, of the 31 general managers, just to watch Doug do the show by himself once a week?
Because I squirmed, you mean?
Yeah.
Because they dislike me that much.
Both.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this group doesn't throw around the money that easily when it's their own, so I don't think we contribute a lot, but it is fun to watch.
You know, he's part of your alumni of general managers. I would think that he is representing all of you in some weird way. So you're next.
You're going to host
a show one day.
I'm going to start a training school for ex-GMs that want to get into media. Like a Roger Nielsen coaching clinic type of thing. I'm going to become that guy.
You want to line up for that, Doug?
Is that the next thing? Either a former goalie or a former GM gets these jobs?
Oh, yeah. And I'll be like president of operations. Not a GM. I'll be like president of operations. I'm not taking one of those lowly GM jobs. I want to be a president.
Well, if anybody can handle it, Dougie, it's you.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Jake Allen. What's the story? I mean, he's been good.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. And I think, I think it has to go back to our team game of not giving up as many quality opportunities. And I also think having a contemporary in Marty Brodeur working with him on a day-to-day basis, I don't think what Marty's providing him is a lot of technical support. It's just more understanding of the positioning and of the mindset that goes into being a number one goalie. And it probably, guys, took a little bit longer for him to grasp that. It's one thing to be a good goalie when you have a safety net, and the safety net being a 1-1A to the situation we put him, where he has a very good partner in Hutton, but we were asking him to play the majority of the games, and it took him a little bit of time to get his feet under him. But right now he's doing a very good job, and now it's the next test is continuing this through the next 10 games to secure a playoff spot and performing at that time of year.
You get safety net, don't you, Doug?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Doug, I got to say, we said it. We talked about it on the show that when the coaching change was made, one of the biggest moves could be Marty Brodeur spending time with Jake Allen. And we did talk about it, in fairness. Yeah. And you know what? I agree, Army. I think a mentor like that, because he doesn't need the technical, it's just that support is huge, especially when you got Marty Brodeur talking to you.
Got a minute here, Nick.
Just wanted to mention no Robbie Fabbri, which to me is disappointing because this is the time of year that I really got to enjoy watching him play last season.
Yeah, right now we've been sort of hit by that injury bug. We've got Laterra, Stastny, Yaskin, and Fabry out. So we're really going to test our depth, and I know we're running short on time, but that's the exciting part for our group now. As we're going through a transition, we get to see what the Barbashevs and the Sanfords and this group can do moving forward, and we're excited about how they're playing now.
You qualify for the show. You already you're aware of we're short on time, and then you give us a quick one. So
and then and
this.
Tell us Panger to send a pay stub along, Charlie. We usually get them once a month from him.
He really rubs it in.
You're awesome, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug. Good luck.
Thank you very much for having me on. We'll talk to you guys soon.